The Survivor Specials, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are going to talk about the best of Survivor 2024. I guess I should probably change this background, huh? I didn't even think about that. We just got Survivor 47 getting all the love. No love here for 46.
We'll just put the background for 46 and flip them back and forth every 15 seconds.
How about that? That looks better. Look at that. We just have the Survivor Specialist. We don't need the 47 at the top. We're going to be talking about Survivor 46 and Survivor 47. I think two really incredibly well-received seasons of Survivor. Had a lot of controversy, had a lot of blindsides, a lot of big characters, a lot of good gameplay. We got 90-minute episodes. This was a really strong year for Survivor, and we've never done anything like this on this channel before, but I thought it would be a fun time to sit down the day after Christmas when people are going to be, you know, doing nothing, right? Isn't that what people do? People don't know what day it is and all that for the next week. So I figured it'd be fun to sit down and talk a little bit about Survivor 2024. We got 10 categories that we're going to do best of. I guess the last one's not really a best of, but we'll be doing that. Blake, you look like you had something smart ass to say. What do you got?
Best of the year. So is it 46 or is it 47? Like, who's going to have the best blank and who's going to have the best, huh? It's going to be an all-time best podcast we've ever done.
Well, what's funny is as we do these topics, I didn't actually put best season as one of the topics because I figured, you know, 46 or 47, that's all you can talk about here.
We'll do the math at the end. How many of them do we are from 46 and how many are from 47?
I guess we
follow
can do
along
that.
And make a...
Although I already said that 47 gets my vote because the jury let people talk. So that was 47 getting that big important. Nod. Very important. All right. So we're going to be starting this thing off. So here's our topics. We're going to be doing best player, best episode, best moment, best character, best move, best villain, best hero, best challenge beast, best blindside, and which returning player has the most potential if they were to return. So which player has the most potential in a returning game is how I labeled it. So let us know as we go through the comments here what your picks for each of these would be or as we go through each one of these. I know that we started about 5 minutes early, so I feel like we're going to get a huge Instagram boost in about 5 minutes. So Blake, why don't we try to stall until 5 on the dot? And why don't you tell me what you felt about Survivor? Because we got to digging deeper at the end there, but which season do you think you'd put higher, 47 or 46?
I think it's really, really interesting because they did the same thing. So if you go top to bottom, 18 versus 18, 17 versus 17, 16, and then all the way down to 1, like who do you like better over of these? Okay, second place, Sam versus Charlie. I think if you do that, overall, there's a lot of really cool, fun people on 46, but I think 47 has a more cohesive like cast where like even Keyshawn is doing something where like all the Banu boots from the beginning are like, and like even Jelinski, which should be an auto win, is up against John Lovett from Pod Saves America, and you're like, that's a pretty hard one to be up against to not just immediately be like, I would bring back Jelinski over the first boot person for 47. You're like, oh, maybe this is a little closer. And if you're losing the Jelinskis, then you're losing pretty much everybody because he's one of your stars pre-merge. I think if you do that, I like 47 a little better, but that's not a knock on 46. It's just I have some stars on 46 that I like. I think we're finally starting to see what the 47 cast is going to be doing on social media afterwards. Mm-hmm. And like, was it fun to watch Venus fight with her cast the entire season of 46? It was fun. Then it got a little grating, but like, then I kind of missed it. I don't think we're going to get any of that from 47 of like, there's no like, oh, Rachel's getting in a fight with Teeny and like talking shit about Genevieve. Like they're going to be having fun and going to Harry Potter for the rest of your life. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. They're all having such a nice time going to Universal Studios and Rachel and Genevieve getting that picture back to back with the wands and everything. You're like, man, the joy and happiness from 47 really offsets 46. Yeah. You got your naughty list and your nice list to keep it within theme here, right? I feel like 46 is just, it's like the whole season had such negativity around it and 47 really didn't. And it feels
the
like
the true spirit of Christmas almost.
I'm telling you. And here, so A. Cook says, I'd say 46 has better characters, but 47 has better players. And I do kind of agree with that. I feel like 46 has a lot of players that great TV, but really probably never win Survivor, which is not the case, I feel, for a lot of 47, which we'll get into when we talk about returning player and stuff. But
I one other tweet I saw that was pretty crazy of like how far we've come, or maybe we've thought about this for vintage seasons. I guess we don't say vintage, we say old school, but like somebody tweeted out, man, maybe I just want to go on Survivor so I can get the built-in friend group afterwards. And I was like, I hope the casting people never see this. I don't think that should be like, hey guys, let's not fight on the island. Because remember, one day we're all going to be going to the Mariah Carey at the Rockefeller Center, and we're going to want to be able to all Venmo each other and not have it be split up into too many different Venmos, right? Which I think is a real problem Brandon Donlan's probably had. But you're like, it's just something where that should not come into your mind. That should be a byproduct, not a goal of your time on Survivor.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump in. Let's start talking about some of this stuff. So let's start off with number one. We are going to start with best player. And some people will be like, why would you start with best player? But we have two winners. So I feel like you're really picking between one or the other. Now, Blake, you might disagree with that and you might try to fight somebody. But I also feel like on this season, on both of these seasons, we don't really have a Jesse or a Rob Cesternino or something where it's like that player who just missed making it to the final tribal council where you could say, oh, man, if they made it, they definitely win. Like Liz certainly doesn't fit that. Teeny doesn't fit that. So it's like, where would you go with this?
How dare you?
How dare I what? Oh, you're a Liz Wilcox truther? You think she gets it done? Dude, I would have been so stoked. I wanted to see it. I think this comes down to Rachel versus Kenzie, though, right? I mean, can you make an argument? You can't make an argument for anybody else in the final three, although you'll probably sit here and say Charlie should have won. But
I don't see why that would be a negative thing when it's like how if we were best friends for 10 years and you were like, but Blake, I know you're late to work sometimes, so the better worker is somebody that I've known for 2 years that keeps showing up on time. I'd be like, bro, what? I know I've played villainous for you. I sat in the back right chair at your wedding. Like, what the hell, bro?
So who are you arguing is the best player of this year?
I mean, I would say I was on Team Charlie for that one. So in my mind, it's Charlie versus Rachel.
Okay.
Because not because I don't value Kinsey's game. It's just more, if I am betting money on a player to win again or win, or are you going to go on All-Stars and do well? I guess that's kind of where I think of for best player of, could you do this again? Or was this a fluke? And I think the best player out of those would be Charlie in that group of three. And then Rachel could probably win Survivor 5 times out of 10. So overall, I'm going to choose Rachel, but it is weird that I went out of my way to make sure I didn't say Kenzie.
I mean, I have Rachel as well. I feel like Rachel played the most complete game of the season of the year. And like, when you look at what Rachel did, I like how people were, you know, they were pushing, well, she just won too many immunities, or she just did. It's like, she did everything she was supposed to on this season, and she navigated it pretty well. And she clearly had the relationships necessary to the point where even after Sam had a great final tribal performance, he still had no chance of beating her. Like, she still dominates him at that final tribal council. Kenzie versus Charlie feels like a coin flip every time. And that doesn't mean like Wendell versus Dom was a literal coin flip. And people argue that Dom is one of the best players to never win, but I still feel that in this situation, Kenzie she didn't play that level of game. She played a very good game. She obviously wins the money over a really good second place person. But ultimately, Rachel gets this because Rachel's game was just more complete. And I feel like Rachel was just in control of more. And even as Rachel started to fall out of control, she was able to navigate. So Rachel's game felt more like a regular Survivor game, whereas Kenzie's felt almost like a byproduct of absolute insanity taking place around her. And I don't know if we get another situation, another season like 46, where there's so much chaos that ultimately leads to somebody. And I'm getting finger guns pointed at me by Blake. So go ahead, Blake.
I think the one thing that we keep forgetting, or maybe it doesn't matter anymore because it used to matter a lot, was your voting record. And yeah, like Charlie's voting record is like perfect, pristine. Every single person that Charlie voted for went home. We do have
at the 10-1 vote.
What happened?
He voted for Venus at the 10-1 vote.
Okay, so.
But this is why it doesn't count, because he did that on purpose. But it's just funny that like we can't use voting record anymore because people will just look box score watching instead of actually seeing what took place. And they're like, oh, well, Charlie voted wrong.
I guess I forgot that. See, that wasn't part of the merge in my mind. That's the earn the merge. Mm. So my mistake. But I think there is a reason why, like, oh, who did I get on my podcast where everyone agrees with me and says everything's great? I got Charlie, because like he's somebody that knows the game and can bounce off or whatever. Charlie had a perfect record, and then we have Rachel not be able to vote once whenever she would have gotten blindsided, and then also actually get blindsided. Thank God she had immunity. Mm-hmm. So like those are we best player? Like what do you... Do you like being able to get hit by a car and just roll off and keep walking? Or do you prefer your Frogger to never be in the line of a car at all?
I think on this version of Survivor, you're always going to be in line. I think at this version of Survivor, you've gone to the point of the arcade game's kind of rigged against you. If you're going to use the Frogger example, everything that is thrown into Survivor is to make it where complacent people can't win. So you're always going to have a shot being taken at you. That would be like if Genevieve somehow pulled this off, would you say, oh, well, she wasn't that good because people were looking at her? No way. No way. So I think Rachel gets the... I think Rachel easily wins best player of the year. I really do.
Because she's the most...
well-rounded.
Adaptable. Yep. Okay. We got it.
All right. So we both have Rachel. So now we get into some fun stuff here. We get into the best episode of the year. And I think there's a lot in contention. I mean, first of all, you have all of these episodes with the blindsides of people not playing idols in Survivor 46. In Survivor 47, you have multiple episodes, and none of them really resulted in idol plays. I feel like it was more of like non-idol plays or the threat of an idol play that made it happen or made it more dramatic. But I want to hear your answer first of what you're going with as your best episode.
It legitimately for me has to be the hide and seek episode, because I think that was some of the most funny shit ever of like, let's play hide and go seek. We're going to use this as like we did the digging deeper of what did that actually mean. And it was like, we're pretty much going to just play out the whole season of what's going to happen in front of you. We're going to have Hunter hide up somewhere and then basically have a challenge that's almost like it. We get a blindside, kind of, and then that is where we have Q make his quote-unquote move. Is it the best move of all time? Is it the worst move of all time? We can't talk in absolutes like that, but it was absolutely one of the funniest moments of the year where Q's like, oh, I'm quitting, you guys, and everyone's like, shut up. We have to vote someone else out, and then he stays in the game for like another four eliminations, and like just the fact of like Q going from really well aligned with Tiffany and Kinsey to absolutely hating their guts. All of that happens in that season, in that episode. And you're just like, this is amazing. I love all the Q stuff. And that's when he was at his best.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, this is the turning point. Hide and seek is the turning point of when things turn from everybody wants Venus, because we see Venus go back to back, to now all of a sudden everybody's targeting Q. Everybody is so pissed at Q moving forward after this. And it's so funny because after this episode, Q is the alternative vote 1, 2, 3, 4 times in a row. And then he gets voted out the fifth time. So like, this really is such a stage setter. And what's funny is you bringing this up, Tevin goes home in a blindside here. But Tevin doesn't go home in a blindside of like had an idol and all of that. He's one of the last people to go home without an idol. Because after that, we see Hunter go with an idol, Tiffany go with an idol, Venus go with an idol. And then Q doesn't have an idol, does he?
Q does have an idol.
He does have an idol. That's right. So then Q has an idol. So it's like all of these people go home with idols in their pocket, but that episode from start to finish is so good. And I see Ash's me down here is saying, I think Operation Italy is too good for me. Hide and Seek is a close second, though. I'm actually going to go with, is that blood in your hair? And I'm going to say, is that blood in your hair was still the best episode of season 47 and is the best episode of the year. And I know that might not be super popular, but I got to give my pre-merge some love. I sat there 20 minutes into this episode saying Keyshawn is going to be the winner of Survivor 47. and then at 9:30, Keyshawn was walking home and I'm having to come on the podcast and say, how the hell did that just happen? The birth of Genevieve in this episode is what really sets this apart for me and why I like this one more. Operation Italy, I know, will be the more popular answer, and I may have Operation Italy at one of my topics later on here. But for me, this was such a change from what Survivor had been doing. We had seen Survivor, if you were a big character who was going to make big moves, you got screen time right from the start. And from Genevieve, everybody's calling her Purple Genevieve coming into this, right? Nothing was going on. Who's this person?
I think they were saying Per Penelvive or something.
Per Penelvive. Why aren't we hearing from Per Penelvive? Who cares what her name was? Why aren't we hearing from her? And then Genevieve comes out and pulls off one of the best blindsides we've seen, especially in the pre-merge. And to the way that it was executed with Rome using his extra vote and just use it to get Saul and Rome to work together, for Teeny to be totally left out, which was then the starting point of the rest of the season.
First Teeny face we had of...
Exactly. Exactly. Of Teeny just being like, what happened? It's so good. And I mean, like, when I'm looking at these episodes, obviously you talked about Hide and Seek, Operation Italy, Is That Blood in Your Hair? Other episodes that need to be shouted out here, though, when Venus goes home, episode number 11, My Messy Sweet Little Friend. When Venus goes home after finding the immunity idol in that episode and talking so much shit about the people who haven't played their immunity idols and then goes home, that's a great episode. The Tiffany blindside is a great episode. Even the Rome roast. I know that was a polarizing episode, but that's a fun episode of TV. There are so many good Survivor episodes from this season, but I got to go with Is That Blood in Your Hair? Because that set the tone for season 47. And after that moment, I think there was one weak episode for the rest of the season. And I just couldn't wait to watch what was going to happen after that.
And don't forget, you have Sue finding the idol and busting shit up.
And busting everything up.
That is the only part of that idol that ever is like going to get paid off. Because there's not a fun moment when she plays it, but there is a fun moment when there's like, oh shit, I got to put this in some leaves and push it over here for a minute.
It's so good. It really is. I mean, that Sue stuff gets pushed to the side, and I love that that's the name of the episode, so we'll always remember what episode it was that she actually did find that idol, and Tiana and Caroline come walking up. It's so good. It's so good. Tiana never catching on. Poor Tiana. All right, let's move on. Number three here, we have Best Moment. Best Moment. So, Blake...
I am going to do my best moment. Unfortunately, we're going to lose a lot of respect for Blake here, but I think the best moment is Rachel playing her idol, saying the two lines of text. Just kidding. This is a conversation. She said, the best part of your funeral is knowing you're going to wake up the next day and saying this vicious shit to Andy. It is something where it's like, normally you don't get to say this stuff because like you don't want to be braggadocious and you don't want to be like, I told you so. But whenever people have you dead to rights and you can say this shit. So I think the move of I'm going to play my idol with Sue, get everyone to talk good about me. I'm going to wake up at my funeral and then say the words to Andy. You were very convincing today. Just not in the way you think was like, I think move instead of like getting five people to go this way and this way. Like in my mind, it's just like, oh shit. Like she auto wins the rest of the show now because of that move at six. Like nobody can beat her if she's in the end because of all that. So I see that as both some of the most entertaining move, which gets into best, and then some of the most, like, my winner percentage went from there's a 60% chance I win this game to like 95.
Yeah.
By doing that
yep.
stuff. So yep. that moment is my best move of 20.
Well, that's your best moment. Your best move. We haven't gotten
oh, yet. I said, what are we on? We're on best moment. We're on best moment.
I hope you got that right. All right. Anyway.
Best moment. Yeah.
I am going to go. Look, I tried to go away from gameplay a little bit on this one because there's obviously so many great game moments, and I talked about.
That wasn't gameplay. That was her talking shit. Yeah.
Dude, the best moment is Q. It's not the reaction. It's Q not picking Liz. That is the best moment of this year. Q not picking Liz after Liz was talking about finally something I can eat. Applebee's is my favorite thing ever. That's what me and my daughter do. This is awesome. And then Q doesn't pick her, and she throws that tantrum, and Q just stands there.
I'm freaking pissed.
And he just stands there and stares at her and says nothing. And it's just like, you voted for me last night. I don't care. Like, I'm over Amazing. You. And his whole thing of like, I've had to fire people at work. This doesn't bother me. All of that. That is the most iconic moment from these two. From these two seasons. Kevin Hernandez has a good one here. An underrated moment is Hunter, like a lost puppy, trying to discern if Kenzie is lying to him at Tribal. That was awesome, too. But it's the over-the-top nature of this Q doesn't pick Liz to go on the reward. The story we had built in of she can't eat anything. She's starving. She's pissed. She hates Q. Q keeps surviving these Tribals, even though he shouldn't. And that reaction and that, like, just, okay, now I feel better. And it's just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care anymore. Dude, that was the best moment. That had people so pissed. And so often, especially in new era Survivor, the best moment of a season always seems to fall to a move, right? It always seems to fall to something that happens at Tribal Council or an idol play or something. The fact that we were able to just get – this was the water cooler moment of that episode. I don't remember who went home in that episode. I really don't. That's the water cooler moment of that episode, and that's what makes it so good.
Damn. I'm freaking pissed. Good for Liz. She should come back for 50.
I don't think Liz is going to make it back for 50, Blake.
Sheesh. Okay, up next, we have best character of 2024. You go first this time.
I have Andy. I am putting Andy over
Mr. Rueda?
Yeah, I'm putting Andy over Q. I'm putting Andy over Rome. I'm putting Andy over, you know, it's actually fine. I'm putting him over Venus. I'm putting him over 46.
Everyone in 2024?
Yeah, 46. I'm trying to list off the people that I think are like, we're in contention here. Mm. 46, I'm realizing, didn't have as many as that. But like Genevieve might be somebody, but character, not really. Like, that's not for me. I feel like Andy, his story, what he did in episode one. I mean, I know Teeny was going at Tommy Smokes earlier this season saying like, what's Tommy Smokes going to say about me or whatever. And Tommy just like gives, like, he was like, we've actually been a very pro Teeny podcast, and they had a little back and forth, and it was actually a funny back and forth, not a vitriolic back and forth. But I remember after episode one, when, you know, you just have nothing but Survivor in your feed, and Tommy Smokes is like, I hate Andy so much. I hope this guy dies. I never want him to play, all this. And then like four episodes later, he's like, Andy is the best thing to happen to this season, blah, blah. And I know Tommy is doing that because he's the bar stool mentality. Like, he's going to go over the top. But I felt like that's how so many people in this community felt. I'm sitting there and I'm going, did they really cast somebody who could not hoof it after what happened in 45? Like, did they really not learn from two quitters in the first four episodes of 45? And this is what we're going to deal with right now. And then Andy has such an epic turnaround. He plays the game. He gets cocky. He's super entertaining. So I'm going with Andy. I think there's more depth to him than there is to
anybody else. Andy has like five episode quotes in a row, right?
He does. Yeah. He tied Tony's record.
He's quotable. All right. I don't think this will come to any surprise, but my character of 2024, you felt his presence yesterday because Christmas was canceled. It's Q. Q is everything I want in a Survivor contestant. As somebody that I'll do the whole, I work in casting. It is perfect. Of, you don't understand who he is when you see him in the What are we going to expect from Q? Oh, he's a former NFL or wait, SEC.
He was just college.
Yeah, SEC football player, and he's really good at selling houses. Okay, I have a preconceived notion of that. Do I think he's going to be one of the funniest people this season? No. Do I think he's going to be like, oh, he's beating everyone in challenges or whatever? I thought it was pretty cool to see him have some of those moments too of like, I'm not used to losing. Whenever I do lose, it's kind of like a mentality of like, you got to take some ownership. We had that creep up a couple times where he says, vote me out. I don't care. I do care. I care so much. Vote me out because I don't want you guys, blah, blah, blah. All of that backstory is now layered with, I think my favorite thing is his laugh that he does when he knows he's being a dick and he doesn't care, or it's like, or whatever. It's something like, I can't do it exactly. I'm not a good impressionist, but it's so funny of like having that moment in your mind of like, yes, you can do that in confessionals, but it feels like he would do that almost in like in front of other people too. Of like, I am going to, no, I don't want to go with Liz to Applebee's. Like I'm doing all this. Yeah. And the fact that we're canceling Christmas, the Q skirt, what he was doing with Banu of like, I'm going to coach Banu through Survivor. And then his a tumultuous relationship with at least three women of like, Tiffany and Kinsey are my best friends and now they're not. And Kinsey should be on my side because I helped her do. And now she's not. Maria voted me out three times already. And now she's like my best ally. And Maria's like, well, now I got to vote him out again. And you're just like, there's not been somebody where you could be like, here's my expectations of what they are and just like exceed it so much in such a fun and interesting way. And like, it's just such a fresh breath of air, whatever you want to say of like, every time I saw Q on screen, I did not know what he was going to do. And then he still gets like sixth place.
Yeah.
Usually when that happens, they burn out like Rome and like, oh, Rome goes home six episodes in. Q's one immunity away from like, probably being in the final three.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Big mistake is iconic.
Like it almost feels like he has as many like taglines as like Donald Trump almost. Like Donald Trump says some things where you're like, okay, that's his tagline. And like, it feels like he was almost that presence on his episode of like, you can cancel Christmas, big mistake or whatever. And you're just like, oh shit. Like,
yeah,
I this energy is not wanted ever in Survivor, but I love it this time. This is crazy.
I think I knew Q was probably going to be your answer, so I had to go a different route. I mean, Q is who everybody is saying put on season 50. Like, no matter how far away we move from season 46, that's who everybody wants. Everything he did was gold. I mean, the guy was tremendous TV. And you're right, like the little laugh he had when he would do stuff was great. And I just think that what also really helped Q was early on in the game, we see him teaching Banu how to play Survivor. And then halfway through the game, it's like, dude, this guy wants to quit. He doesn't want to be there. They're using him then to get votes. And then he starts really playing. He gets voted out with an idol. Like, Q went on one hell of a journey. And you had said, would this be the person I think is the funniest or anything like that? We've seen so many athletes get on this show who do not work, who are on there because they're good looking, because they're physical. Q could have been, I mean, he could have been, you know, 5'2" and weighed 110 pounds. And if he had this personality, he still would have been the best person on the season.
Right.
So it's just, it was awesome to see what he was able to do. And yeah, he's locked in for 50, in my opinion. So.
And he's hot too, if you care about that. Good for him.
He is very good. That's what I'm saying. He's very good looking. So when you see him, you're like, oh, okay, he's going to be the athlete trope. Nope. All right. There we go.
And now he has dad jokes for his next season when he comes on because he just had a baby this year.
That is true. All right, let's jump over to best move. I'm going to go first because I already said mine. Operation Italy is the best move.
Okay.
Operation Italy is the best move. Is that what you have?
We are in agreement of, I think, best move. None of those people won the show. So that's a little bit like, what do you mean best move? But I do think it invigorated another generation of strategy-minded fans. Mm-hmm. If you were a person who's on the fence, if you're 14 years old watching the season of Survivor and someone's trying to explain to you how three people can take over at Final Seven, I've dreamt about this for my first 15 years of watching Survivor. The fact that it finally materializes on season 47 is pretty, I don't want to say iconic, but it's very like, oh my God, thank God we finally have some we can point to. It, plurality vote, if you're learning about it in any kind of government class or whatever, here on Survivor 47, this is what happened. Three people overtook four because they spread themselves too thin. This, it's such an easy, like, it's literally the first number you could almost do plurality, except 2-1-1, I guess. But like, all that is in my mind of, oh wow, that is a amazing moment that we won't ever have again because it took 47 seasons to get there.
It was so good. And we talked about it so in depth on the podcast. And I know that that was actually the week where I wasn't, was that the week where I was in Disney? I think it was, right? That was the week. No, that was the week before, because finale part one was when I was in Disney. So this was, so we did do a Digging Deeper episode about that. And my biggest thing is like what they were able to pull off without actually having an advantage, but by tricking people into thinking that they had advantages and just using their brains, just taking three people with an understanding of Survivor and what it takes to actually win this game and how you can maneuver people and manipulate people. It was so beautifully executed. I don't know if we'll ever see a move that impressive again as long as we watch the show. I really mean that. Why? Because I don't know if we had seen a move that impressive prior to this. We talked about that pretty in depth. Plurality votes are so hard to pull off. And in this era of Survivor, where idols and advantages are everything, to take three people and vote out somebody in a four without actually having an advantage, I still to this day struggle to understand how they did it. So that's my.
I have a dumb thought for you about what you just said. I think there's some kind of like phenomenon. I don't know if it's like rock climbing. I think it could even be in any kind of sport. I think it's in skateboarding, of like the first time someone lands a trick, everyone is now aware of how to do it. And then they practice how to do it.
When Tony Hawk did the 900.
And then, oh, you're the first person to ever do that trick. But now there's seven people. Happens in the speedrunning community for the people who are a little more nerdy and need that analogy. Like once it's everyone knows you can beat Super Mario without getting five stars, everyone can do it. Do you think that'll happen for 49, 50, 51, 52 of like people coming in here knowing the game plan? Do you think they'll try to do this?
No.
On odd votes?
I think they'll try to do it, but I think the problem is when you're dealing with humans and not games, it's just too like human brains, human psyche, the people are going to be have their defenses up, right? I understand your speedrunning analogy because like somebody who loves the Crash Bandicoot games, I try to get all the platinums and I'll try for 4 hours to get a platinum. And then all of a sudden I'll get the time. And then, you know, if I play it again, I get the time by like 10 seconds. And I'm like, wait, how did that happen? I shot over 4 hours. Not only did I beat it, my literal next try, I topped my time. But you're going against a computer. You're only playing yourself. In this situation, you have to go against other people who are going to adjust to what they just witnessed. Nobody who's going out for 49 is going to allow what happened to happen to them. They're gonna try to come up with a defense to that. And obviously this was the split vote and it was tough and everything like that, but it's gonna be like, you are gonna sit down and you were gonna show me that idol or you were getting every single one of these votes. And I don't even care. So
I think that's also like, if you're aware of it, you know to block it now too.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that.
Play defense. Okay, so we agreed on that one. That's our first agree. Who's your biggest villain of 2024?
So my biggest villain, I am going Q. And I think that, I know, I think that you're probably going to say Rome. That's my guess. Yeah, but my thing is, I feel like Q was, because he was in so much more of the season, and he was always a villain the entire time he was there, I give him the nod just for longevity. He was such an integral part of that season. He was so important. He was the biggest confessional giver for such a long period of time. Everything he did was antagonistic towards others. People wanted to leave him out of stuff. Like, it was awesome. So I'm going with Q as my biggest villain, because if you're doing heroes versus villains too, when you did number one, your first two picks were Russell and Rob. There's no doubt about that. What's your number two? If you're doing heroes too, Q is your first pick for the villains drive. So he's my biggest villain. Who you got? Go ahead, say it. It wasn't built in a day.
See, Q, when you love Q so much, he's a hero too, you know. Dude,
Courtney and Tyson are villains too, and Courtney and Tyson are two of my all-time favorites. Like, get out.
Oh my god.
Parvati's a villain. Parvati.
Q is my hero, but I guess I'm a villain in heart. I don't know. I do think the Disney version of heroes and villains is so much different than the Survivor definitions. But like, I think truly, I'm gonna go Q, and this is look at.
Oh,
this.
You are gonna go Q.
No. Rome.
Oh my god, I was like, really? No, Rome, so you're Rome. Gonna go Rome. Okay.
Rome. So Rome is crazy, and I don't think you could do the whole. Honestly, he seems kind of like a hero, like I just did for Q. Like, it is there is no black or white when it comes to it. Was what he was doing aggressive? Yes. Was what he was doing in poor taste for most of the people on the island? Yes. And like, I don't think we'll have moments like that of like, I don't have to get away from you. We're on Survivor. It's one of the craziest sentences. Poor Saul. I think a lot of people were in that conversation being like, if I was Saul, I would have bopped him up beside the head. And you're like, okay, well, you can't fight in a Survivor. Let's hold our horses a little bit here.
$1 million to be like, on TV. You're really gonna punch.
Yeah, like I get you would be very annoyed in that thing. The whole idea of like, I did not threaten him. I gave him an ultimatum, Jeff, is very like, it's just a fun, like it is one of those things where whenever we're saying who's the worst villain or who's the best villain is like, which one of these people would I want to be next to in a game? Like, I'm more fine being with Q. Rome would, like, tear me down. Rome would affect me. I would lose my cool. I would probably, like... And then I think another thing for villains where you're like, okay, Blake, you're just going above and beyond here. But, like, the best thing about villains is their downfall. And Q going home at 6 was kind of like, that sucks. Like, he had an idol. Maybe he should have used it. But it wasn't like a... Let's make fun of this dude completely. Let's let him have the coolest moment in his mind of come on over and sit next to Jeff, or actually sit on Jeff's lap, or just take Jeff's lap over.
Jeff became Santa Claus. It was insane.
Yeah. And like, I think the other thing that was hilarious was Rome doing the puzzle so badly, so badly of you get out of here. Of like, this is your downfall, and like, you should go home here, and then doesn't. But like, it is just a funny thing of what is a villain. And I think because of Rome's downfall and elimination and ridicule, and like, everyone is points and laughs, that's more of a villain to me than the anti-hero that Q is.
They get out of here. The anti-hero. Q, I remember Q drove me so crazy at a couple points where I was like, this guy was an SEC athlete, and he's like the worst teammate I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he drove me insane. He's so self-centered. Look, they're both pure entertainment. I'd watch them both play again. I'd get a beer.
Please
with
come back and play Survivor two like, more times.
When you got to call it what it is, they are both villains. And I just think that Q gets the nod for longevity. Now, this next one.
I want to say something here.
Go ahead.
I want to say something here. We just chose two black guys as the biggest villains of Survivor. And I think this is a positive of the casting of doing more diverse stuff. Because I think if you had said this back in 2004, it would be like, this is a problem. We need more viewpoints and stuff. These are the more viewpoints because we had black men on Survivor in the last year that weren't villainous.
Yeah.
And this is just like, because we have some that are heroes, now we can have villains and not have it be something where we're like, I don't know if we can tell these stories, or we need to take some of this and leave it on that cutting room floor because we don't want them to come off as villainous. When we are doing all of the different viewpoints of everyone, we can have more moments like this. And I think if you're ever negative about, not you, if anyone would ever be negative about more diversity on the show, these are the stories we could tell, and these are the kind of like cool character moments we can do now because we have more people on the show. Well, and I think that's worth saying, at least.
Yeah, and I think at this point too, this was like fun, right? Like, you go back to like Ted Rogers, was his last name Rogers? When you go back to Ted from Thailand, it's like, if you called him the biggest villain, you weren't calling him the biggest villain for a fun reason. Like, Rome and Q entertained me, and they were very fun. So yeah, I get that. I get that. Thank you, Blake. All right, let's
let's do heroes.
You get it. Now let's do heroes. Okay, so this is the hardest one I'm having right now. Because here's the deal. The heroes just didn't stand out as much to me as the villains. And I think that's good casting. The heroes shouldn't stand out. The heroes of Rupert and all that. Like, if you go look at the heroes tribe for the first heroes versus villains, my dad is allowed to love those guys, but I don't need them on my TV as much anymore. Like, I really don't. I don't need that type of hero. JT, that's a good hero. I'll take JT as a hero. There are a lot of levels to JT, and he's going to play the game. But when I start looking at this season, I'm like, okay, who is the hero? Are we going to call Charlie a hero because Maria didn't vote for him? Also, neither one of us said Maria. We could have said Maria for villain when she doesn't vote for Charlie to win at the end of the game. But are we going to call, if she's a villain, then is the hero Charlie? Who is the hero?
Heroes are hard.
And who's the hero to Rome's villain? Especially when you think about back in the day, when you had Rupert, you had Johnny Fairplay. When you had Russell, you had 19 other people. Well, 18 other people, because Ben was definitely not a hero. On these two seasons, it was tough. So I'm going to say this, and all of the bullets that were fired at me through the interwebs will turn to dust against me because I'm just too good. So in a year where there was hard to find a hero, the biggest hero is Genevieve.
Whoa.
There you go. There you go. And you know what the reason is? Sometimes you got to give people a participation trophy when they should have won MVP. So here you go, Genevieve. Here's your participation trophy. You should have been MVP. But actually, if you think about what Genevieve did on this season, she had the arc of a hero, right? Like, tried to play it nice, tried to be good to people, and then, like, lost things. And then at the end started to become who she needed to be and realize the error of her ways and everything. Also was the one who voted out Rome, protected her allies as much as she could. Everybody's saying
she
got rid of
Saul. What are you talking about? Protecting her allies.
Yeah, no, Genevieve probably shouldn't be a hero, but honestly, I don't think there was a hero from this year. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put Genevieve. And I almost cut that category, but I was like, if we're going to do villain, we have to have hero. And I think that I wanted to talk about that in the sense of what Survivor casting is doing now. And people can say all the time that it's Kyle. I don't know, man. Like, if I watch Batman better be like the most entertaining person out there. And like, Kyle had the story, but what did Kyle really do on the island that was so heroic?
Okay, I'm going to do the exact same thought experiment, but let's go quickly. Kinsey, hero, would be crazy. Charlie, hero, okay. Ben, being a hero, not so much. Liz,
you don't
Maria.
Think Ben would be a hero? I think Ben would be a hero for people.
But, like, Ben, unfortunately, gets no votes and doesn't quite get the last part of the game down. Yeah. I just said the final six of that season, so let's do the final six of this season. Rachel, Sam, Sue, Teeny, Genevieve, Andy. And you're like, which one of those is the hero? Like, we just gave Rachel her flowers completely. Like, I do think whenever we did end up finishing the season, there's the popularity poll that shows up on Twitter every episode. And it goes, how many people loved, how many people kind of liked, how many people hated, how many people are indifferent. And Rachel was above and beyond the best, most popular person. So I think that kind of puts her as a hero. But something heroic that came into my mind, I won't say Rachel for this, and this isn't who I thought I was going to go either, and you guys are going to roll your eyes for this one, but the personal growth that was shown in the final episode and the backlash and kind of the ability to deal with it, and I think the future, whenever they play again, Teeny took a hard hit. Teeny got her, like, heroes can lose their powers, need to get it back. Samus has to go find the missile launcher every single Metroid game. I think Teeny lost some of her luster. She has a clear, like, every hero has a kryptonite. Hers is a glass of wine, and that happened to her on the show a couple times. But Teeny, I think, is an epitome of, like, this is what Survivor is now. We're having fun. We're getting blindsided. We're persevering. I don't know if she was great at playing the game the whole time, but she made it to the end. And like, there is a possibility where she could have pled her case and maybe, ooh, she gets second place over, or she would be knocking Sam out of fire. And like, the hero sometimes gets vanquished by the most unlikely thing, just loses to the wind. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're trying to pinpoint who was the hero, everyone loves Rachel, but she was the winner. I think Teenie has a shot at, like, you can, as long as you don't watch that one episode where she was like really angry at Sam, but she did, that was her other Achilles. She's got two Achilles heels. She did come back and say, what a moment she had at that final tribal council where now I'm on Team Teenie and like, bring her back.
Yeah, no, I could get behind Teenie as a hero. I feel like Teenie was super open with her experience and everything like that on the show. So I think that makes sense. And I feel like if you were going to say heroes from these two seasons, Teenie would be somebody that Jeff would probably advocate to be on the hero tribe, as like the just fell right at the end and all of that. I think that would be a good pick. So good job, Blake. I just added a category, by the way, and you're going to be pissed when you find out.
Cool. Yeah. Up next, we have the best challenge performer of 2024. Who do you think it is?
Well, I actually think there's three people in contention for this. Four. I think there's four people in contention for this.
Okay. I'm going to guess two of them. Hunter.
Uh-huh.
Kyle.
Uh-huh.
And now Tiffany. Two more.
No.
Okay. She didn't even... Rachel?
Rachel. Duh. She won four.
And then who is good on that season? Charlie?
Maria.
Okay.
Maria.
One woman, one man from each season.
Uh-huh.
How are you going to break the tie here? Is it based on what actually happened on the island, or are we going to do anything from our minds?
I'm going to go Hunter. Maria would have been actually my number two. I know Rachel tied the record and everything like that, and it's hard to argue with the record. Like, I get that. But at the end of the day, I think that Rachel was... I don't feel like Rachel was so overly impressive every time she stepped out there for a challenge that I was like, oh my God. When you look at what Maria did, right? Maria had to... The only way they beat Maria was when Liz ran back to help Kenzie on that puzzle at the end. Maria would have tied the record and had four.
Oh, yeah.
Maria would have tied the record and had four. And I think the other thing that's impressive about Maria's game is she wins one when Hunter is still in the game. And so to me, not only does she win an immunity, she wins a reward when Hunter is still in the game. And so I think that's really impressive. And so I was going to give the nod to her, but I have to give it to Hunter because Hunter really was. He might not have the results, but if you go back and watch Hunter in the pre-merge phase of that game, Hunter is ridiculous. Like, he is just ridiculous across the board. And Rachel was very good at puzzles, but Rachel has a couple stumbles early on. So I am going to say it is Hunter. And I would say that I'd probably put Maria at two, Rachel at three, and then I would put Kyle at four because Kyle, he didn't win that one. Okay? He didn't win that one. And I just think Hunter in the... You have to remember the team portion of the game when doing this. Hunter was the most dominant team portion of the game person other than Jonathan in the new era. And I think that's why he needs to be up there.
One thing that just popped in my head when we're doing this, I used to do this thought experiment as a teenager, maybe as a young 20-year-old. But like, if we do the final nine of each season and they are now a new season of 18 and it's Tribe of Nine versus Tribe of Nine, which of the final nine beats the other one the most in immunity challenges over the next four chances? It's like, I don't know. That's does 46 have it? Or I feel like there's a lot of really good challenge
players. I think 47 would win.
Yeah. So like the fact that you chose both the 46, like the all-stars of 46 outweigh the all-stars of 47 is very interesting to me.
Well, I also think too, Maria was beating Q, and you can say, well, Q, you know what, but Q's a big guy. Charlie's a brainy guy. Like, Maria had her work cut out.
All these people were beating Sam. Like, I think now we're getting into SEC football stuff of like, hey, you're beating alleged athletes that should be doing really well. And like, I think that's another funny thing about challenges of like, what is reality and what like, oh, haven't you gone to football practice 15,000 times more than I have? So you should be better at this run through tires. But it's like, sometimes you just trip, bro, and then you can't do the puzzle. We got to figure out what I'm actually saying, though.
Yeah, who's your person? That's all we want to know.
I think I would go Kyle's crazy. Of like, he didn't really lose any challenges except for when TK goes. Like, after they go, TK is obviously the person who doesn't really vibe with us when it comes to delegating during team challenges. He doesn't really lose very much. And then every single time they got split up into like six of y'all go this way, five of y'all go this way, Kyle won every single one of those with his new things. And then, yes, he won whenever it was like you actually were third place. But I think if it was Kyle versus Hunter and we had a showdown of 2024 of you get to do five challenges, you get, let's say you guys each get to pick five challenges from the show that you want to redo against the other person. I bet you Kyle would win six of those.
Mm-hmm. I don't agree. I think Hunter wins.
Okay, cool.
I think Hunter beats him, but that's fair. Maybe we'll see them both on an all-star season. There might be one coming up. All right, we're at 51:09. I'm writing down a time.
I would rather have strategy people than challenge people, though. As we're saying that, maybe we'll see their showdown. I would rather them just go to the challenge or the Challenge USA season three. Like, that is what that's supposed to be. And let's save the actual like brainy versus strategy for the actual show.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you want to do as your biggest blindside of the season? Of the year.
Oh, man. Let me say it closer. I think it has to be Keyshawn. Because I don't think they would bring it up 2 days later, 7 days later, 14 days later, 20 days later. It clearly affected all four of the Lavo people that made it to merge. Were like, that was a pivotal thing. It ruined the relationship for Genevieve and Tini. They literally talked about it at Final Five. I don't think there has been another one with that much accentuated circumstance, because usually they go, it's just a game, right? And then they go off. But like, there was something about how raw, real, they did not let Tini in on it. Tini was mind blown, even though they didn't have a vote. Rome and Saul working together to do like, it's not fun, it's just business. I think it is something that we don't really know how much that affected probably the larger Survivor makeup versus the Survivor gods got one there that they'll pay off one day. But I would even see if Keyshawn came back like Francesca did that one time. Francesca is the most what the heck in my mind. But like, if he came back and it was like, I went home in one of the most crazy pre-merge tribals ever, and I think about it every day, like, I would be like, oh, shit. Like, okay, yeah.
Well, and you think about it, like, so in terms of blindsides, Jem, Tevin, Hunter, Tiffany, Venus, Q. That's just 46. 47, TK, Asia, Keyshawn, Annika's was a huge blindside. Rome's was a huge blindside. I think that thing you could probably go down a little bit, but Caroline's was a pretty massive blindside, right? So many blindsides in this year.
Andy got blindsided, technically.
Andy.
Too. Good idea.
And I mean, the audience, the biggest blindside of the year for the audience was when Maria didn't vote for Charlie. Because as an audience, we sat there and said, holy shit, that was the deciding vote.
Do that one. Say that.
You could argue that. I'm going Tiffany, though.
Okay.
I'm going to
Tiffany. We have not said Tiffany's name yet. And I think that is very interesting. That sucks that it's her elimination, too, that we're saying it. But okay, go for it. Why is hers the best one of 2024?
I feel like Tiffany was in the driver's seat. We had just seen Hunter go home with an idol in his pocket. And this was Kenzie's biggest move. Like, this was the move that Kenzie wanted to make that she ultimately didn't make at this time because she still votes for Q here. But she had put this in people's minds earlier and was willing to let Tiffany go home. She was not worried about it, but Maria wanted it to be her move. The fact that everybody came together, and Q included, came together to vote Tiffany out of the game, I thought was huge. And the fact of the matter was, with somebody just going home with an idol in their pocket, it is so hard to vote somebody out again with an idol in their pocket. And 46 is a lot of this, right? Because then we also have Q going home with an idol and Venus and all that. But Tiffany had the most winner potential there. And so I'm going with Tiffany as my number one here. Because remember, Kenzie had wanted to get Tiffany out the week before, but then they had convinced her to get rid of Hunter, and that was actually Kenzie's best move. And then you could argue, well, Hunter was the best blind side, but I'm going to go with Tiffany as the best blind side.
I love that. I also think whenever Tiffany went home, I truly thought Tiffany was probably the Kenzie spot. Like, how does Tiffany lose? And to watch it go so sideways, that episode was crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's do – so this is the one I'm throwing at you out of nowhere, and I want to hear what you have to say because I think this is something people would want to do. Which player was the biggest missed opportunity of this season? And what I mean by that is, who went out really early that you think, had they gone further, would have had the most potential to play, to have a good game?
I don't know why. I just looked in our chat like it would be there. I was like, what the heck? Okay, so I think you're going to know my answer to this because we literally talked about it. But Jim, I was so pumped for Jim. I think her kind of energy being opposite of her tribe's energy, I think a lot of those I don't remember, it's Green Tribe in my mind now. Mm-hmm. Green Tribe, when they made the merge, it was like, they're all kumbaya. We got to get rid of Mariah. If Mariah and Jim had switched, and like Jim is in the she can move around now with those other members from those other tribes, she could be like, no, I don't really like them. That probably saves her. Then there's a wrinkle if she still has her idol of like, now that's a layer of this too, of now we're not just knocking out orange people back to back to back to back whenever they're getting a little cocky. And like, I think Jim had a really scrappy personality, which is why she went home when she did. But I think that would have been a fun, like, she has to now live with Q for 3 days. Like, what does she do when she lives with Q for 3 days? Whenever Liz says something crazy, is Jim going to go, oh, Liz, don't worry about it? Or is she going to go, are you serious? And like, I think Jim is, I don't know if I would say bring her back every season, but I do think I wanted to get Jim's viewpoint on a lot of stuff that happened after she left. And I think that's more not kudos to the editors, but more kudos to, like, I think her personality of like, I wanted to see more stuff.
Yeah. So over here in the chat, we have Keyshawn, Asia. We even have a Randon, which I actually think is a really good pick there, Randon, because Randon obviously being medevac. I would go Annika here, though. I know that they kind of showed Annika being a little more villainous early on. They had to show us something because she ultimately gets voted out. And we needed to show like the yin to her yang of her versus Rachel, with Rachel then going and being the hero who wins the game and all of that. I think Annika had a lot of potential. And I think if Annika makes it through that tribal council, you could be looking at the winner of this season. I think she had a good mind for the game. She was bossy in air quotes. I don't think that any of that would have aired had she made it past that vote. They needed a reason why she was going home over Andy, who the audience all knew should have been the next vote. They needed to give us an obvious reason. I think that's why they leaned into the Annika stuff a little bit more. But I think that Annika is the answer to this one. And I think if Annika played again, she could win. Jem is a good answer. Jem could win too. But like, people would be like, what about Jelinski and all that? Jelinski would be great TV. I don't know if Jelinski wins. But Annika, I could see.
Annika gets 11th place if she makes it.
Get out of here, dude. All right. So then here's our last real one. So here's our real one. So we have, who has the most potential on a returning game? This doesn't mean who you want to see the most. I'm asking, they get the call. with everything that everybody knows about them, who has the best chance of winning?
Best chance of winning. Okay.
Most potential. Because I think that's what potential is, right? Like, I'm not looking for, oh, they would be a really big personality this next time. I'm talking like, if they got the call for 50 and you saw them on your list from this year, who would be the person that you would say they're going to win that season?
I think this is going to be a crazy answer to this. And the joke answer is Banu, so we're not going to do that. But we haven't said Banu at all. When Banu was like the most important month in Survivor, and now we're not talking about him in our year roundup. But like, I think that's probably the caveat or the hole that editing fell into place of like, this is a really good three-episode thing, but it's not going to matter. From that same season, the person who, if they ever get on an all-star season, I'm picking them to win, hands down, is Maria. Because I think Maria, if she gets on the show, people aren't going to hold her to any kind of like, how dare you did that last time. She's going to kick as much ass in the challenges in the pre-merge as she did last time. She's not going anywhere. She could be one of the strongest women. She's going to be in a good alliance. She's going to say the same things to them of like, if she says the words, I've learned so much and I can't believe I did that. People are going to believe that. If she does the whole, like, you know what? I honestly don't talk to Charlie still, kind of screw him. But like, I've learned from that. And now I know not to do that again. They're going to believe that. And like, Maria's going to randomly be in like final six. And it'll be like, it'll be like a Denise. It'll be like a Cass McQuillan. I know Cass didn't make it that far in the second time, but like, think of it as like Cass's first season. Of like just somebody who's there, and then, oh, she needs a couple immunities and now she's in the final three. If she gets in the final three and she says like, I know all of you guys were debriefed about me before we got on this beach and I still made it to final three. I don't know if she'll ever say the word debrief, but like, I think she has a mind for the game where she needs she had a Charlie. I promise you, if she had Fishbach as her next ally, she would win the game. She would pull a JT from Token Cheese.
See, I'm going to go. I don't know about Maria. I feel like the one thing working for Maria is because she ended on a negative. I do think that people would probably underestimate her a little bit going into the season, which could work in her favor. But I'm going to go with Saul. I think that Saul would have the most potential because Saul started off being dragged through the mud just because of the tribe he started on. Saul is somebody, if he starts this game, like, because, okay, we came out there, he's the oldest guy on this season. We didn't know what that was going to mean. What it ended up meaning is that Saul is 43 in age only, right? Like, Saul seems like a very normal guy. He's walking around with the vest, no shirt under it. He seems like he's a very young soul. And so that's working in his favor. So for me, I feel like now that we know that about him, people wouldn't look at him as much of a winner threat. He wouldn't have to deal with Rome at the start of the season. And there are going to be six or seven bigger threats than him on the island. And then you're also going to have bigger physical threats than Saul on the island. But Saul would be able to actually play the game he wanted to play because he wouldn't be being babysat by Rome. And I think he could win the game. So I have Saul.
Saul and Maria are in the final three. I think both of those people, like, are they the first ones asked back? Mm-hmm. Or are they people that are like, they were actually on the alternate for All-Stars, train just as much as they would for regular. They get an opportunity because somebody gets pregnant at the last second for Maria or somebody breaks their leg. And like, I do think Saul is an interesting answer too. Of Saul got where he got in the worst case scenario.
In the worst case scenario,
everything that happened to Saul in 47. I know he's such a good soul.
I'm not Saul's doing it.
Such a good soul. Okay, nobody left. Okay, I think if he doesn't have the worst luck of all time, can he get sixth place? If he has a little bit better luck, then he's fourth place. If he has a lucky season, Saul wins.
He literally went from, I'm stuck on a tribe with Rome, to one of my closest allies just blindsided me out of the game way too early and pretty much ruined her own game. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. That's going to wrap.
Did you have fun doing this? Is this fun?
I did. That was fun, wasn't it?
We go back and do it for 2023, and then
we'll do it for every year.
Pick the worst
timestamps of when we actually.
What's the worst two seasons of Survivor that we could do this for and pretend like Bo Burnes is my big challenge performer because
23 and 24.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, South Pacific into One World, right? Oh wait, no, is it odd into? It's even into odd, isn't it?
Even yes,
we'd
odd.
Have to do One World into Philippines, which wouldn't work. We could do Redemption Island into. No, we'll do Nicaragua into Redemption Island. Is that it? No, that's not it.
Nicaragua's 21.
Yeah, we yeah. Redemption Island in the South Pacific, probably.
That's the worst. By
yeah,
far.
Yeah, that's bad.
My biggest villain is what's his name? John Cochran.
For 20, no, my biggest, like John villain, my biggest villain is Sarita because she threw the challenge to get rid of Russell and that made it so that nobody could beat Rob.
Oh, man.
Thank anyway,
you, Sarita. And now Rob is on Deal or No Deal 2 mm-hmm. podcast.
Dude, I know he's going to take over
he's
our
on fire guy.
So because of that, I'm acquiring Blake. Blake, you're my replacement. You're my Rob.
Also on traders. It's crazy to me.
Can you stop? Can you get better numbers than Rob? That's the question.
Yeah, for sure.
Dope. All right, everybody, we're out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. Let us know who you think should have been the answer or what you think should have been the answer to each one of these clues given, whatever you want to call them, topics, subjects. I don't know. I can't think of words right now. Anyway. That's it. Like this video.
Wait,
subscribe to the channel.
This is a good question to end on. Who from 47 is getting on fire with Jeff?
Andy.
What? I think he does Rachel because Rachel's the most popular in the one. I think yeah. they ask the winner first. If they ask D for 45, they're going to ask Rachel for 47.
Yeah. Yeah, and they probably wanted Kenzie, but Kenzie was pregnant and wasn't going to do it. So.
No. Okay.
All right. There you go. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll be back again soon. Starting not next week, right? But the
Merry
week after.
Christmas.
Starting in 2 weeks,
Merry
we
Christmas.
Get two new shows with Deal or No Deal Island, and we're gonna have the Traders. So we're gonna have a lot coming up anyway. Bye, everybody.
You can cancel Christmas.